I want to talk tonight just for a few minutes. I've got several texts, several things to start from. But I want to take one from Matthew, the 5th chapter. The words of Jesus. Blessed, it's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will ever see God. Holiness and a pure heart are they're kin to each other. You can't separate them. Jesus said, blessed. Now, the Beatitudes are blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth and all that, you know. But along with that, he made some statements, and I want you to get this thoroughly. You are carrying one of the most stupendous, it's so far beyond your comprehension of what you're carrying around in your bosom called an heart. I'm not talking about the heart that beats and pumps the blood in your body. That has nothing to do with the Bible heart that we read in the Bible. When he's talking about the blessed and pure in heart, he's not talking about the one that pumps the blood. That's just an organ that keeps you alive, pumping the blood. Now, the reason they give it that name, it's because it is so important to the human body. Because when it decides to lay down and take a little rest, you take a rest with it, and you're through. Now, that's the only reason. But every person here, you have a heart in you. Now, that's the most important thing on the face of the earth, is to know how your heart functions, and to know as much about it as you can. And that's what I'm going to try to tell you tonight in a few words, and I hope they get it on tape so you can remember it. The Lord put great emphasis on the vital importance of the human heart. It's the one little thing in you that determines whether you go into heaven and see God and dwell with Him eternally, or whether you are assigned unto the lake of fire. There's only two places. You're assigned unto the lake of fire in hell to be conscious and to be tormented forever and forever, time without end, and never go unconscious. And it is your heart that puts you in hell, or your heart that puts you in heaven. And you are the one that controls what goes in your heart. Satan cannot, of his own accord, come along and put anything in anybody's heart without their consent. Without your will, nobody on the face of the earth has ever had Satan inject anything in them. All sin is of the devil, and it's in us, and it's because of Satan it's there. If we have it in our heart, we're lost, and we cannot serve God with sin in our heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. It must come out. I want to talk about the heart. I want to get some things about the heart as they come to me. One of them, O God, that's found in Psalms 108, 1. O God, my heart is fixed, so I will sing praises unto thee. You know, the greatest achievement on the face of the earth is for a man and woman to get his heart fixed. Why do people sin after they've been saved? Why do they go back and backslide and go right back to the devil? Did God make a mistake on the heart? No. Can Satan put things in you contrary to your will? No, never has, never will. He has got to subdue your will and get the consent of your will when once Christ comes in your heart. Now in Ephesians 3 and 17, it says that Jesus Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. You know, that makes you want to shout. That Jesus Christ abides and dwells in a person's heart. Now, he will not stay in your heart with a bunch of junk in there. And if he comes in and you're born again, and Christ is in your heart, and if he's not, you're not saved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not in your heel, nor your kidneys, or your belly. He's not in your head, nor in your elbow or your arm. He's in your heart. The heart is a headquarters for the whole human being, for the headquarters of Almighty God. When the Holy Ghost comes in you, he doesn't lodge on your hip, or in your arm, or in your head, or in your stomach, or in your liver, or in your other parts of your body. He comes in your heart, and that is the center of all action, all motives, all acts of all kind, good or bad, they all come from the heart. Let's give another good one. God, in his great wisdom, made a statement. And I'm quoting statements that God makes. It said, keep thine heart. It's found in Proverbs. 4:23. Everybody listening? God said, keep thine heart. Why keep it? God saves you. You're sealed. You're born again. You're a new creature. Son of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. What else is there to do? Every day of your life, there's a potential of you yielding to Satan and him getting your will to inject something in your heart. I want you to look straight at Brother Hibbard when I talk to you about this. Keep thine heart. Don't say, God, my heart's going to send me to hell or heaven. And it'll do it. Don't you ever kid yourself. Here's a clean heart, a pure heart, and something happened to go up to judgment, and somehow or another they go to hell. God has to throw his book away. He'd never have to face an individual. He couldn't afford to face anybody. It never has happened, never will happen. If you go to hell, your heart's wrong. If you go to heaven, your heart's right. I don't care what you have done, but brother, when you pull that last breath and you get ready to leave this life, if your heart's not right, I know where you'll land. You'll land in hell because the Bible said so. Now, God said in Proverbs, keep thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Your hope of survival is from the heart. Your only hope of having eternal life is your heart. And God says, keep thine heart. Never did he say, give it to your mother-in-law. Never did he say, trust it with your husband. When he goes to church, go to church. When he goes to a picture show, go to him. When he decides to stay home and watch a game and you don't feel like it, commit your heart to him. Let him maneuver it. No, sir, brother, if your heart is kept, there's only one human being and only one will that controls the little exit and entrance of your heart, and that is Y-O-U, you. Nobody else on earth can put in your heart anything without his will. Keep thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What has God told everyone sitting here? That you have a responsibility. He will save you. And you know, ever since I was a kid, I have always heard that when a person goes to the camp meeting and becomes converted and comes back and quits their lying, cussing, and stealing, they everybody in the neighborhood called it a change of heart. Am I right? Was that true? That's true. A change of heart. Now, I'm giving you nothing but facts. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he taught us. One thing he taught us is my text. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. Meaning this, that under no circumstances can the unclean in heart see God. It's got to come out. It can't stay in there. Jesus Christ one day was giving a Bible study. And he said to the multitudes, I've got something to talk to you about that's very important. They said, what is it? He said, listen. He said, I've been criticized by the Pharisees for going through the cornfield and plucking corn and rubbing them in my hand and eating them without washing my hands. Now they think I've committed a sin because of their man-made rituals that I haven't washed my hands. But I'm going to bring a revelation to you. It's not what goes in your mouth that brings you under condemnation and guilt, but it's that which comes out of your heart. Far within, out of the heart of man. Brother, we're getting these words from a teacher. Brother, there's a lot of people pops off and they'll say things. I don't believe that's wrong. Oh, I believe you can do that. Oh, I believe God understands. It's a bunch of poppycock. Let me tell you one thing. I don't care what people talk about, but when Jesus Christ opens his mouth, who made man? Christ did. He was in the world, the world's made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. God got ready to make us and let us make man in our image and after our likeness. God put a heart in you. It's the house that even the devil dwells in. Your spirit dwells there. Your soul dwells there. And every action of life dwells there. If you manage to commit any kind of a crime, has it ever been committed where God put it in his book as a crime and it did not come out of the heart? Never. Every crime that has ever been committed on earth has been committed by coming out of the individual's heart and going into action. The murderer is a murderer before he pulls the trigger. The Bible says when murder is in his heart, he makes up and consents his will to kill. Then he puts in action what already is in his heart. When you get ready to tell a certain man when he comes and asks you about a certain thing, you're going to lie to him. You're a liar before you ever tell him. The lie is in your heart. It can't come out unless it's there. Out of it are the issues of life. God said to humanity, keep thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Every evil thing I ever did in my life came out of my heart. Not one of them came out of my kidneys, or my liver, or my pancreas, or my belly, or my head. They all came out of my heart. And every good deed, and every kind act, and every good deed I have ever committed has come out of my heart. Jesus, the great teacher, said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. He said, I didn't think that you could think with your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is a greater organ than you think it is. So we find out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Thefts to steal, murder, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, pride, arrogancy, foolishness. And I could go on and on. I don't have any more. I'm quoting a number of them. But Jesus said, all these evil things with anything else that's evil comes out of your heart and defiles the man. And Revelation 21, 27, thou shalt in no wise enter into it, heaven, to the tree of life. Thou shalt in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they whose names are written in the book of life. If there is defilement, you cannot get in. Jesus said, all these evil things come out of the heart. That's where they come from. They have to get there to come out. If Christ has cleansed you and you have been cleansed and made whole, the Bible says when he turns you out, he forgives all your past sins and he gives you a brand new heart. My heart is fixed. 112:7. I shall not be afraid of evil tidings, for my heart is fixed. There's an atomic bomb on its way to be exploded. I will not fear. My heart is fixed. Somebody's going to tell a lie on you. I don't care. There's no evil or no fear. My heart is fixed. So-and-so said there's going to make you backslide. Tap on an elephant's leg. He never knows it's there. Why? Your heart is fixed. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. Now, I'm speaking of the heart. It says, I want you to notice, keep thine heart. There's nobody, the preacher's not going to keep it for you. Mama's not going to keep it for you. And Jesus is not going to keep it for you. We are kept by the power of God. You say, now wait a minute, you said Jesus was not going to keep my heart. No, he's not. He's going to let you do it. He's going to call you an overcomer. If you was in there and he was keeping it and there was nothing could go wrong, no evil could ever come in, no bad ever come out. Why? It's his job and he never fails. But why do we fail? Why do we see sin? It's because the individual is not doing what God said he had to do. We're kept by the power of God. That's, you say, is that a contradiction? Oh, no. Brother Hibbert is kept by the power of God. If the devil wakes up of a morning and said, well, let me see. Today I'll take, Dallas comes to me. Well, Hibbert, he's on the radio. I believe I'll take him over today. I'm just going to take Hibbert over and I'm going to possess his heart. And I'm going to put a few things in his heart that I want to put in there. Can you do it? Nope. Why? Because God tells me that if I will to keep my heart, there's not enough devils in hell or out of hell or anywhere else that can touch my heart if I will to keep it. But if I yield to temptation, look at it, ponder with it, and let it roll over in my mind and play with it, Satan can take that temptation, and when he finally gets your consent, he not only can put it in your head, he put in the head of Jesus every temptation a human being ever had. Now swallow that. You say, what did you say? I said this. There's never a temptation that ever come to a human soul but what that temptation came to Jesus. It never reached his heart. Not one time. It came to his head. Satan can tempt you, but brother, that temptation stops there because of your will. There is no powers existing that controls your will. If God says, I don't want him to yield to that thing, it'll ruin him. So I'm going to keep him from that temptation, and he's not going to let it get in. And God comes down. Ordinarily I'd yield and my will would be given over and I'd sin. But God comes in and he keeps me from sinning, and he controls my will, and he blows the fuse so I can't use it. And after it's all over, he said, son, I blowed the fuse and I just took over, and that's the reason why you didn't fail. That never has happened one time. It never will. If it did, God's in a lot of trouble. He's duty bound to stay there and keep everybody's heart and never let any sin invade it, because if he did it for you, he'll do it for anyone else. God's Spirit gives you his word. Christ is in there and he tells you what to do and what not to do, what to consent to and what not to. But when you yield, the temptation may be there, but you realize and recognize immediately it's wrong. You do not cooperate with it. You throw up a barrier and say no. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Not might, he'll run. Not because he's afraid of you, he's afraid of God. And God said, devil, anytime one of my children, when you tempt them and they resist you, I want you to get going. And I don't mean stay there one second. When they resist you, you go. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. We keep our heart, ourself. It says, harden not your heart. The devil don't harden your heart. You let him in, he'll cause your heart to become hardened, all right. But God wasn't saying, devil, I don't want you to harden that person's heart. He says to the individual, harden not your heart. What did he say? Contrary, I want it to be reversed. I don't want you to have a hard heart. He says, I want you to have a broken and a contrite heart. God says in his word, a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise. I will admire it. I covet any individual that has a broken and a contrite heart. You know, if you can shed tears, that's one of the greatest attributes in the world. When you reach the place you're so hard you can't shed a tear, you need a prayer meeting. When you reach a place you no longer are touched with the feelings of infirmities of others, you need a prayer meeting to soften your heart. There's too many hard-hearted people. Let me say just a few things here real quick. What can Satan do to you? God gives us an outstanding picture in the Bible. And follow me closely on this. Don't let this slip. There was a man by the name of Judas. He had a heart just like anybody else. It was pure and clean. God called him. He followed the Lord, and Jesus had sweet fellowship with Judas. The Bible said he did. Called Judas' name. Jesus Christ blessed him and anointed him. And Jesus Christ laid his hands upon him and gave him power over all the powers of the devil to cast them out. And it called Judas' name when he did it. So we'll be sure to know it's Judas. And he said, I give you power over all unclean spirits, and I give you power over all sickness. Lay your hands on them, and in my name, command the sickness to go, and it'll go. And it said, Judas called his name. Said he went out and cast out devils and healed the sick. And it said, Judas called his name. Said the 12 came back, and it called their names on down, called all 12 of them. It called the name and said, Lord, even the demons, the devils are subject to us through thy name. The sick are healed. Judas had a clean heart. He had a pure heart. He had a heart that God dwelt in. But he had a will. And that will stands at the door. The condition of your heart sends you to hell or heaven. But the thing that is far more powerful than your heart is the thing that can control your heart and put it in any shape it desires to put it into. You could be as base as a fiend demon that is in a fallen state in 24 hours if you will to do it. If you will to do it. Your will can cause you to commit iniquity. When a sin comes from your brain cells, Satan has put a temptation there. Well, I might as well go ahead and do it. Been tempted. Jesus didn't do it, because then you'd go to hell if you do it. He knows that's the devil's business. He wouldn't be a devil if he didn't do that. He is here to tempt you in all lives, but there is no temptation taken us but such as is common. And God will, with that temptation, make a way of escape that you can bear it. Judas Iscariot, a child of God, washed in the blood. He was a cleansed vessel with a pure heart, had God's spirit in him to cast out devils, and he did do it. Months passed by. A couple of years passed by, and in the third year, Judas began to neglect his soul. He neglected his heart. Let me tell you a sad story and follow me. What happened to Judas could happen to anybody. If it happened to one of the disciples, the 12 disciples of the Lord, it could happen to you. Judas Iscariot got careless. Why do we have Pentecostal people today calling themselves Pentecost, as backslid as they can be? It's been years or months since they've had a touch of God. They're out there in the world tonight as backslid as they could be. At one time their heart was pure, but not tonight. They failed to keep their heart. Nobody keeps it but you. Keep thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Satan came along. He looked at all the disciples, and they had no rent. Their will stood at the door. Satan said to some of them, why don't you take a little money here? They wouldn't notice it. No, sir. That's wrong. That's stealing. And the will kept the door. There is no power of hell ever. Open that door contrary to the will of the individual that he's coming into, that possesses the heart. Nobody here ever had anything put in your heart and you woke up one morning and you didn't have anything to do with it and was there. That doesn't exist, never has. Let me tell you this real quickly. Follow me. I'm talking about Judas Iscariot. The Bible says that he was taking the money. He carried the bag where they took up the offerings. And the Bible said he was a thief. When did he become a thief? When God called him pure and clean and give him the power over devils to heal him? Why, of course not. Sin is a mortal sin. I mean, stealing is a mortal sin. It's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Do you think that God can make a mark of his salvation? He was pure, but now he becomes a thief. How did he do it? Satan put in his heart to steal. It wasn't there before Satan put it there. Can Satan put anything in your heart? Just as easy as he did Judas, if you do what Judas did. Judas stood aside, let his will not function, and he willed to take money that didn't belong to him. He didn't have to do it. God told him not to do it. The book told him not to do it. The daily teaching of Christ said, don't do it. But his will said, I want to do it. And brother, your will can put you in hell, or your will can put you in heaven. It's God that worketh in us to will. We can refuse to accept it and yield and will to the wrong thing. What happened to Judas? Satan put in his mind to take some of the money that he had, and he took it. And he seemingly went right along, and Jesus didn't say anything to him. The time always comes. He got by with it for months and months and months, until finally it looked like he's going to take Jesus and they're going to sure carry him to the cross. And from all he was hearing, the end of the Lord was about at hand. Peter never felt that way because his heart is still pure. He believes that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Judas has sold out. He's yielded to sin. When sin gets in your heart, brother, and you don't get it out, it makes an opening to where Satan can come in. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God won't hear us. We blow the fuse. And when we shut God off, brother, our heart's in a bad fix. Come on, listen to Brother Hibbard now as I finish. In Judas is theft. Why? The Bible said so. Jesus, his own self, said he's a thief. Was he always a thief? No. He was a thief when the devil put it in him. Did he have to let the devil do it? No. There's no way Satan could ever put theft in him unless Judas willed to do it. He willed. Anytime you commit a sin, don't blame it on your mother-in-law, your wife. Don't blame it on your kids. Say, I am the one that willed to do that. Now he's going along, and for months, the devil is having a business meeting with his devils, the little devils, and said, ah, we've got one of the Lord's 12, Judas. Oh, we got him. Just wait, I've got something up my sleeve for him. I put in him to steal, and he's done it. I've got something else I'm going to put in right away. I'm going to put it in his heart to betray his Lord. I'm going to whisper temptations to him and tell him he's going to die anyway. They're going to take him. And you might as well make a little money out of the deal. You see, the Pharisees and the high priest have put out a reward. You heard about it. Others have heard about it. And they want someone to come and tell them where he is so they can take him. And Jesus was hiding out. He would come here and go there and then vanish out. Sometime they'd try to get him and he'd vanish out away from him. His time wouldn't come. But Judas Iscariot, when he'd come pretty close to the time, it was Jesus said to him, I'm going to soon go. My time is up. I'm going to soon go. Satan said to him, not knowing it was the devil. Old Judas got this voice. You better do it quick. You see, somebody's going to get the money. You might as well get it. Now, after all, you know, there's going to be a lot of money given. So many pieces of silver. Little did he realize that in the Bible it said even one of his own would sell him for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible had foretold what had happened, but Judas was close to that. What did he do? He came to that night when there's taking communion, and after Satan had put in his heart to betray him, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, one of my disciples shall betray the Son of Man. How much does God's Spirit, even through the preacher's mouth, warn us of things that the devil's trying to get you into? And we turn a deaf ear to God. Sitting at the table hearing the voice of Jesus, some of my disciples are going to betray me. And Peter said, it's not me. I'm not. Matthew and all the rest of them, the numbers of them, of the disciples. James, not Matthew, but James and Simon, just a bunch of them. And they sat there. Finally, John was sitting next to Jesus, and Peter said to John, John was right below Christ, leaning on his breast, and Peter caught John's eye and said, John, ask him who it is. Ask Jesus who it is. Ask Jesus who it is. In a few minutes, John leaned over to Jesus and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? And Jesus turned to John and said, John, when I take the sup, when I reach out and give it to someone, the one I give it to is the one that's going to do it. And when he took the sup, he gave it to Judas. He looked at Judas, and he said, Judas, yes, sir, Lord, what is it? What you do, son, do it quickly. Yes, yes. And he got up and went out the door, and it said the disciples thought that the Lord had told him to go and buy something because he held the sack. They didn't know. Jesus knew. Jesus' eyes penetrated him and said, Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. You know what had happened just a minute before that? He was sitting there taking the communion with the iniquity in his heart. I'm going to betray the Lord. I haven't done it yet, you see, but I'm going to do it. Had it in his heart, and the Lord knew it. And Judas knew he was going to do it. But when he took the communion, it said the devil now enters into his heart, and he becomes demon-possessed. Read your Bible very closely when you get home, see if it's not exactly that way. First of all, he puts in his heart to steal. Then he puts in his heart to betray the Lord. Then when he does that, Jesus said, Judas, what you do, do quickly. He is now talking to a demon-possessed disciple that has sold out to the devil. Satan has just come in. There's many a Pentecostal person gone back in sin, and the devil got him. You say, does he get everyone? No, but I'm not guaranteeing nobody that if you backslide, throw your heels up, and go out on the territory of the devil, that you won't be invaded by the devil. I'd be a fool of fools and the greatest false prophet that ever lived if I told you didn't. I'm going to say it's a dangerous thing to get cool in the Lord. Have I lied to you, or have I told you the truth? Then if it is the truth, my God, help us to keep our heart. Peter kept his, he willed to keep it. James kept his, he willed to keep it. John kept his, he willed to keep it. Judas did not keep his, he thrust himself down a cliff. His bowels burst open and spread out on the ground. His spirit and soul landed in the hell of hells, and he's in the hell of hells tonight as I talk to you. Let me say this and I close. Thirty-sixth chapter of Ezekiel. This is the covenant that I will make with my people. That's several hundred years. To be frank, 587 years before Christ. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with my people. A new heart. A new heart. Also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I also put within you. And I will give you a new mind. That's a new birth. No man on earth ever was born again without having a brand new heart. And any time you sin, John said, little children, I write to you that you sin not. But if you sin, don't you let the sun go down. It said we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You come to the blood. You come to the throne. You raise your hand and keep your heart and ask God to take that sin out. God never has refused a child that had fallen victim to sin. And you raise your hand. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. Your heart is made pure when you confess and you repent. But don't let it dwell there. A new heart. God's give you a new heart. And anytime Satan fouls it up, all the issues of life come out of it. People that lie, cuss, steal, swear, they get in their mind, I'm going to take dope. It's hard to get it out. Why? They're not a Christian. Satan has access. And when he puts it in there, it's there. The desire's there. And then the action begins to take place. Before it's in the heart, he puts it in the mind and they consent to it. And then Satan takes over. When it gets inside, devil has control of your heart. The sad thing, and let me say this, a heart was purified and swept and garnished. It had a demon in it. Jesus describes this perfectly. Listen to Brother Hibbard. And it said, the man had the evil spirit cast out of him. Now, an evil spirit never leaves you just because he wants to visit around, go to somebody else. It never happens. When the devil comes in, it's going to take the power of God to get you free. Satan was in him. The demon was in him. And he came to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus said that the Lord cast the evil spirit out, swept and garnished him, and purified and cleaned him, and made his heart pure and clean. And the Lord entered into his heart, and he was not empty. He had his heart. He had God in his heart. He had God in his heart. But Jesus said that same man went on and neglected praying or reading. He neglected worship. And the devil come back and begin to tempt him, like he did Judas. And Satan put more temptations to him. He let people lie on him, misunderstand him, criticize him. Anything it'd take to get him upset and leave the church and kind of check the church out. So the Bible says that he succeeded, the devil succeeded, until finally the Lord left the man and he was found empty. Now the man is still in there. just as much as it ever been. But now he's empty. Meaning what? That when he wasn't empty, someone is in there that's not in there when he's called empty. The Christ, God was in his heart, but now when he goes out and yields, the Lord has to leave. The Lord left his heart, had to leave. Now, it's empty. He's not devil-possessed. These are the very words of Jesus. When you get home, read and see if I'm not telling exactly what Christ said. But he had sin, and it had caused the Lord to leave, so he was empty. God help any of us to never become empty. Let us always have Christ. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your heart. He doesn't visit, he doesn't jump in and out. He comes to dwell in your heart. And brother, when Christ is in there, you have grace to will to serve God. Listen to Brother Hibbert. Jesus said that this man had his sin and his life, his body was empty. His heart, that's the only thing a devil or Christ or the Holy Ghost ever comes in. No other part of your body. They function your other part of your body, but I dwell in my heart. So does Christ. So does the Holy Spirit. And those that are demon-possessed, they come into the heart of man. The Bible says so. Now, here he's empty. And this devil that's going through dry places, seeking rest, Jesus said, you can believe that when Christ tells you something, and he's finding none. You kind of go up to him and say, hey, what you doing? I'm going through dry places. Why do you call it dry? Well, he said, when I'm not in a human being, there's a lot of difference in just being out in the air floating around, disembodied, because we have to operate as a spirit. We're not permitted to carry a body around with us called a demon body. We only operate in human beings. And when we leave a human, nobody can see us. We're still a devil. We can see people, they can't see us. We still try to prey upon people and enter in. And when we enter in, if we're a lust devil, they start lusting to where it gets out of control. And if I'm a lying demon, they start lying to where they can't take control. You see, there's all kind of demons. But going through dry places is going through the air without a body. And it said this devil that came out of that man came back, and here's what he said. He said, I believe I'll go back to my same house, the heart that I used to be in. The devil called it his house. That's where he dwelt before. Dwelt there for several years. But he's now, after he'd been cast out, he's going back to see if there's a possibility of getting back in. So it said he came back to the man. And the man didn't see him. Man seen him, scared him to death almost. But the devil came back and looked and said, well, he's empty. He doesn't have anybody in there. The Lord's gone. He's just in there by himself. He's empty. And then the devil said, before I go in, they cast me out before. I know what I'll do. I'll go get my buddies. I know where some other demons are, and they're in dry places too. And I'll go and get seven more devils more powerful than myself. I'll get big devils. There's all kind of ranks of devils, the Bible tells us here. Different ranks, different kinds of devils. Now, the Lord Jesus said, that demon said, I will go and get seven more devils more wicked than myself, and we will come and enter into the man, and then the last state of that man is going to be seven times worse than it was back there when I was in him, just one little devil. I'm going to make it seven times worse. And Jesus said he went, and he said to the boys, you want to go into a house? I found one where I used to live. It's empty. You say, brother, what are you talking out of your head? If I am Jesus Christ was, is this exactly what Christ said? How many has read exactly what he said, and this is what he said? Put your hand up. And it said he got all seven of them, and here they come. If a man could open up and see seven spirits walking along, to scare him to death. But you can't see devils.
The devils came along and said, all right, let's go in. Whew, 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 four, whew, five, whew, six, whew, seven. Don't forget me, I'm coming in too. Whew. Now, before he had me by myself, now, I'm in here with seven more. Hadn't Jesus said the last state of that man was seven times worse? Why? Because he failed to keep himself full. Keep thine heart. The greatest thing, and I close with this, the greatest thing in this Bible, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. And brother, when we have the peace of God guarding us, our will is the final thing. If I will to refuse to let God's peace keep my heart, the peace of God will depart from it. But if I say, Lord, like my song, let me follow you, Jesus, and never leave me alone, walk close by my side, blessed Savior, until I've made heaven my home, the condition of your heart will assign you to hell, or the condition of your heart will assign you to heaven. If our heart has anything in it tonight that Jesus would say it should not stay, he has given me the right to tell you at the close, to have everybody in this building that wants to move forward, for anything that God is not pleased with in your heart and you want him to take it out, because out of the heart are the issues of life. Jesus Christ can take anything out of your heart that should be taken out while you're alive. But when that brittle thread of life snaps, you're gone forever. There'll never be no change. Tonight, he can cleanse your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Let's stand to our feet together. How many believe that this is a sobering message? Who's responsible for your spirituality? Nobody but you. Who's responsible for your backsliding? Nobody but you. Who's responsible for any sin? Nobody but you. No one can keep my heart but Jesus. That's why I love to pray. That's why I love to read the Word. While we stand, I'm going to ask you a question. So many times we let things stand in our way. Timidity. What people will think. Well, that's what Hibbard said, but I believe I'll do so and so. That's having your own will. I'm going to ask you a question straight out. If there's sin in your life tonight that would keep you from going to heaven if you drop dead before I get through preaching, and you drop dead and you wouldn't have time to repent of one thing, your heart, if it has sin in it, will never get into heaven. And if it's in there, your will consented, because it can't get in any other way. We shall give an account of every deed done in the flesh, whether it be good or bad. God told me to give this altar call this way, and I want to give it. If there is anything you can't say, well, I'm going to get that out of my heart right now, Lord, I'm going to take it out. You can't take nothing out. It's got to be forgiven. You may have stole back there, and you'll say, well, I'm not going to steal no more. You can be honest the rest of your life and go to hell. Why? That sin that's committed is there in your heart. It's got to go. It goes through confession. Ask God to take it out. And if you don't know what it might be, say, God, if there's anything in my heart that would keep me from standing before you with a pure heart, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I'm going to ask everyone in the balcony, in the lower floor, and under the arches, while they sing, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, and the very best people in my church might step out because of a certain thing they want to be sure about. And when you come, we're going to pray, and God is going to answer prayer because He wants to do it. You can go out that door not thinking. You can know that your heart is as pure as a driven snow. I want people that want God to help you, and you have sin in your life. You may be here and you've never become a Christian. Tonight, you'll say, Brother Abbott, I want to bring my life to Jesus. I don't want to gamble out here in the world. I don't want to go another day without Christ. I want Christ in my life. I want you to come. If you're a backslider, if you're here as a professing Christian, or you may be a Christian, but there are little things that you have not repented of that's there, and it could open the way for others, and you want to get rid of that thing that God is speaking to you about. Bow your head as I pray right now. I want to ask God to speak to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, while every head's bowed, you're looking at the heart now, and you know everything's in it. And my God, heaven is a wonderful thing. And Jesus, the only thing that'll cause us to escape the judgment of God is coming to you and having the blood applied. Right now, if there's one thing in any heart, let the Holy Spirit give them grace to step out and come. And you said, He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You promised to do it. And right now, every person in the building, you want to come to the front, you want to stand, and you want to ask God to take your heart. And when God gets through, blessed are the pure in heart. Only God can purify your heart. Only God can take out anything that's there. I want you to start moving. There's others all over this building. God's talking. I want you to come. As I said, some of the best people in this church might step out. There's never hardly a day goes by but what I search my heart and pray and many times repent, say, oh God, don't let that thought be there. That thing I said, if I said something, it was not exactly right. I constantly, and brother, God's talking to our heart tonight. If there is a premeditated sin that you've been holding back in your head, you haven't committed it yet, but it's in your heart, it'll damn you if you don't get it out. You can come tonight and God can take it out by the root. You can have Jesus in there and you can have a pure heart. Don't think you're all right because you haven't committed it. When murder gets in a person's heart, they may not commit murder right then, but they'll do it because murder's in there. I want you to come. Unbelief. Procrastination is one of the things that sends more people to hell than anything else. He's told the truth. I'm going to have to make a start, but not tonight. That's the biggest trick of the devil. Don't you dare listen to that lie. If you're not ready for heaven this split second, it stands to reason you'll not be when you die if you don't do something about it. God wants you to do something right now. Step out and come. God bless you. God bless these that are coming and they're sincere. When you come, put your hand up and just start talking to the one that loves you. And know that He will not, under no circumstances, turn you away. He that comes unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I will under no circumstances cast out. Come on. Have you had a little bitterness in your heart about someone? A little something there that wasn't right? Ask God to forgive you. This is a sacred time. There's been 250 hours of prayer the last 6 weeks being prayed. Some of these messages are digging pretty deep because God's getting ready to take us to heaven. I want you to step out. Don't you dare go home and be miserable all night. I should have gone to the front, just a few steps to the front. You could go away rejoicing and laughing.